Well, to answer your questions going through your mind, which is, well, who is this guy? I'm Father Moore. I'm your new associate priest, parochial vicar, whatever you want to call it. This is my first Sunday, and I told Father Matt I would be giving him a hard time. Now, while I do like to preach, he thought it was funny, I guess, to give me one of the most important and most difficult topics of all Christian and Catholic mysteries, the Holy Trinity. So, thank you so much. So, there's not a lot of time to introduce myself because the Trinity takes a little bit of explanation and I want to focus on that, but I'll give you the 20-second version. The real version takes about 2 hours. So, I grew up in North Texas, Henrietta, Texas, so not Henrietta, Oklahoma. I don't know Troy Aikman. I grew up Southern Baptist and felt called to ministry early in my life, but I knew I didn't want to be a Baptist preacher. So when I graduated high school, I kind of stopped going to church at all. Met a girl, got married, became Episcopalian, and then the whole going to seminary thing made sense. I became an Episcopal priest. I started ministering, and then I did what you shouldn't do if you want to remain Episcopalian. I started reading Catholic authors. And so that led me to conversion, amongst many other things, which I don't have time for now. And so I did what any sensible man would do, to tell my wife. I waited until the lights were off and we were in bed so she couldn't punch me. Because you see, I had just taken her to Wisconsin and back, and it had only been a couple of years, and here I was telling her, well, I think I need to be Catholic. And she simply said, yeah, so do I. Now, the reason for that is because she grew up Catholic. St. John Paul the Great had just died, and her own grandmother had just died. And she felt like that her grandmother was praying for her to come back to the church. So, we did. It was difficult. I begged the Catholic bishop where I was for a year to put me through the process because, let me just interject, it is possible for a former Anglican priest like myself, even if he's married, to become a Catholic priest, as long as the Pope says it's okay. Pope Benedict said it was okay. But still, I pleaded for a year to start the process, then the bishop sent me from Fort Worth, Texas down to San Antonio. I took the process 3 years, finally got ordained. I was there in San Antonio as a priest for 10 years, got sent to Indianapolis. You should know a little bit about my background as a priest. I'm used to a liturgy that's a little different than what you're used to. And so if it looks like sometimes I'm lost, well, that's probably because I am. I belong to something called the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. Our liturgy is based kind of on, an English patrimony. The easiest way to explain it is that it's kind of like the old Latin Mass, but all in Elizabethan English. A couple years ago, my dad died. My wife and I discussed that, well, we really need to be closer to family. My wife is from here, so we came here, and I'm only 3.5 hours from my mom. So that's why we're here. We asked my bishop called Bishop Condorla. He was happy to welcome us, and so I'm going to be here, as far as I know, God willing, for the, now, maybe not this parish, but in the diocese of Tulsa for the rest of my life. So that's me, and I'm happy to be here. Okay. Now, I know that was more than 20 seconds, but believe me, the long version is really long. Now, like I said, the Trinity is the central mystery of our faith. That's what the Catechism tells us. I mean, it's been with us from the beginning. Our Lord told his apostles before he ascended to go out into the world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so even from the beginning, the mystery of the Trinity has been present. And if you'll notice, our Lord said, in the name of, not in the names of. That gives us an indication of what the Trinity is all about. As we've been taught, three persons in one God. And so this is the Trinity. Now, God is infinite, right? And we are finite. We are limited. God created us. And so we can't possibly comprehend the infinite. Does that make sense? Now, if you need an example of what I'm talking about in real life, a lot of us have kids, right? I have kids, four of them. One of them here is here today. I won't point him out. So I do have four kids, and I've noticed in my life, and maybe you've noticed the same thing, that a child will just go by the trash can in the kitchen and continue to try to put smash stuff into it, even though it's overflowing, right? Yes? Nobody else has that experience? Okay. I see a recognition. So that's like trying to cram the infinite into our head. It's not possible. You tell the child, take the trash out. Don't do that. Okay? We can't continue to put stuff into our head. We cannot completely comprehend who God is unless He reveals Himself to us. Now, He has. He has indeed revealed Himself to us. But we will never completely and totally understand Him. That's one reason that heaven will be so amazing, is because we will continue to grow in our knowledge and love of God for all eternity. So He's infinite, we're not, and here I am trying to preach on this my first Sunday. So we confess one God in three persons, the consubstantial Trinity. And this is from the Catechism, by the way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do not share the one divinity among themselves, but each one of them is God, whole and entire. So it is proper to say that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet, as the Creed of St. Athanasius tells us, there are not three gods, but one. And that boggles the mind. But we must remember that we are creatures. God is greater than us. This may not make complete sense for us, but we need to remember that we're not Him. We're not the same as Him. And we can't try to pull Him down to our level. And so when we have these various things, there's three persons and only one God, well, we have to hold them at the same time in equal importance. We can't mix them up. If we do that, that's when we fall into heresy. Now, to help us understand the Godhead, there are three terms that we need to understand. That being the word being, like something or someone that exists. Person being who someone is, like we as people are human beings. And nature, what someone or something is. Now, I've got an explanation from the website Catholic Answers that can help us understand these three words. The Trinity can't be grasped if we think of beings and persons as the same thing. We use those words interchangeably, but here they have distinct meanings. If we recognize that there are beings that are zero persons, kind of like they have no soul, and to explain that, let me preface this by saying I'm a dog person. So like a cat has no soul, right? So that can help you understand that. So there are beings that are zero persons, such as rocks, trees, and there are beings that are one person, such as us and the angels. Then we can see that there could be a being that is three persons, because person and being are not the same thing. So that can help us to understand what it is that I'm talking about. Now then, understanding that is great and all, but how does that help us in our day-to-day life? Because that's really what preaching on Sunday is supposed to be about. It's not a theology lesson. It's supposed to help you live your life in this one true faith. So let us see this. This is why it makes sense that God is three persons in one God. To help us to understand that, there's a fourth term we need to understand, and that's the term relation. Now, when I say relation within the Godhead, I mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They relate to one another because of these terms. Think of it like your own families. When they get married, the husband and the wife get married, they love each other to such an extent. And in the Catholic Church, we understand it as they are giving themselves completely to one another. When that happens, what do we have? Well, we have children come about, a third person. And so we see the relation between the persons in the family, father, mother, and child. And so that's a reflection, a pale reflection, but still a reflection of what we see in God Himself. The Father, from all eternity, gives Himself completely to the Son. The Son returns that love to the Father. And proceeding from that, like a child from a mother and a father, is the Holy Spirit. You see these relations between the three. So that is what we need to understand about the Trinity. Now, one key point, and I think this is the point that really helps us apply this to our life and not come out of here bewildered because of all the theology, is that God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, he says, God is love. And there have been saints throughout the ages who have used that to help explain who God is. And even today in our gospel, it says, God so loved the world. So, and I'm going to here contrast the idea of the Trinity, what we have, with what other people proclaim, that God's just one person. What if God was one person? For God to truly be God, then he must be perfect within himself. Now, this is something that even philosophy can teach us. The ultimate being must be ultimate. He must be perfect. He must lack nothing. He must need nothing from outside himself, and there can be nothing within him that is not completely actualized. What I mean by that is there is no potential within God. Like when a child is born, that child has a great deal of potential of what he or she will grow up to be. But this is not true for God. He is pure act. He doesn't grow or change or become anyone other than who he eternally is. Now, when writing about the love of God, St. Augustine of Hippo writes, there are three things: he that loves, and that which is loved, and love. In other words, the love that is between them, the Holy Spirit. So if God is love and there is nothing besides him before he created the cosmos and everything in it, then it makes sense that God is a Trinity. Because if God were only a single person, how could he be love before he created anything? Because there wouldn't be anything or anyone to love. If he was just one person and not three, he would require something outside of himself in order to be able to love at all. And therefore, he would not be perfect, and therefore, he would not be God. Now, what our faith has revealed to us, and this is found in the Catechism, God's very being is love. By sending his only Son in the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in that exchange. That's what our Christian Catholic faith is about. From this, we see that the Father pours himself eternally into the Son eternally receives and returns that love, and the Holy Ghost is the living communion of that divine love. Therefore, God did not create us and the world around us just because he was lonely or bored. Instead, out of that infinite love of who he is that is shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even before creation, even before time existed, he decided to share that love with the things that he would create. And so we see that that love has spilled over into creation. It is infinite. He does not lose any of himself by pouring out his love upon us. It's because of that love he created us to share his love with other creatures. And when we broke faith, when we sinned, he showed us even more love by redeeming us. Because when Christ came and died for our sins and rose from the dead, he has not just turned us back to our former state. Instead, we now share in that life of love that is between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, we can say with all the saints throughout the ages and the teaching of the church that we become deified through that. We don't become equal to God, but sharing in his life makes us more and more like him from here to all eternity. So that's what we are doing anytime we participate in any of the sacraments. All of the sacraments give us God's grace. And that's a term that has been thrown around for ages, and I don't think people really understand what grace is. When we're talking about it in the church, in terms of the sacraments, grace is his very life that he gives to us. his love. And we see this especially in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Christ gives his very self to us in this wonderful sacrament. His love for us that caused him to come down from heaven and become one of us, and how humbling that must be, and to die for us and rise from the dead, and to now share his life with us from now to all eternity. And so we need to consider, if God has so loved us, like our scripture tells us this morning, God so loved the world, do we love him? How much love do you give God? Just this much? Well, I'll go to Mass when I'm supposed to, and that's all. How do we live out in the world? That's how we show God our love for him. Because just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit eternally give themselves to one another, so we must give ourselves to one another and completely to God. This is our Christian Catholic faith. This is who we are meant to be. This is something that we do not just part of the time. It is something that should completely envelop our lives, just like the love of God does. We all make mistakes, that's true. And perhaps we have sin in our life, or someone else has sinned against us in such a way that we feel alienated from God. But God always, always wants us to come back to him. That's how much he loves us. Even in the moment that we've sinned, he wants us to return. So that's how much he loves you. Why don't you decide today to love him completely, as he has first completely loved you.